Take your Bible and turn to Malachi chapter number 3. Malachi chapter 3. As I announced earlier, we're going to talk about the subject, the tithe, this evening. It'll include a little teaching about offerings, but we're going to talk about the tithe. Malachi chapter 3. Once you arrive at Malachi 3, please turn, if you will, to verse number 7, and then stand with me, if you would. Malachi chapter 3. Starting with verse number 7, and I'm going to read to you, and you can follow along. Malachi 3:7, it says, "Even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinances, have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." If you'll look back at me, let me make just one comment that has crossed my mind here. The United States of America has supported missionaries all around the world for years and years, like no other country. I believe this. I really do believe that for many years in America, Christians tithed to the Lord. I believe God blessed America financially. Here the Bible talks about a country robbing God. Now, it's not talking about that the government necessarily robbing God. It's talking about the people of that country. I doubt that you'll find any country in the world that understood and gave to God like America has in history. But America has backed off on that. And the economy of America got awful rough as a result of some of it. I believe that if someone will do right by God financially, that there is a tremendous blessing in it all. Let me pray and then we'll get started on the lesson. Father, bless us tonight. Lord, the subject is a little awkward for some, but take it tonight and help us to realize that this has been in your book for a long time. It's nothing new. It's not being taught to any particular person tonight, but it's being taught for Jesus to his people as a whole. Bless us now. Holy Spirit, help my mind to be quick. Help me to teach right with a right spirit, right attitude. And may we learn that way too. May we listen that way. Bless this lesson tonight, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. I would tell you this, when a preacher gets up and teaches on the tithe, it's a little awkward for him. It is not the most pleasant thing that I teach on, but I need to. It's my responsibility. But I honestly, whether or not you'll believe this, I teach on the tithe because I do it for your sake. Because what God says about it. I do it for God's sake. I would teach on the tithe for the sake of the New Testament church. You teach about the tithe because of the lost, the funds that are brought into a church. The right kind of a church has something to do with keeping people out of hell. But, you know, I have to teach on certain things for my sake. You say, why? Because God demands that I not be afraid to teach on whatever the Bible says. I'm to teach or preach the whole counsel of God. I have to tell you, there's sometimes that I need to say something in the pulpit, and I'm not thrilled about saying it. But I have to, because it is the responsibility that is mine as a pastor of a New Testament church. So, I remember back when I played Little League. We had some dues or fees that we paid when we played Little League. You know what they told us? They said, well, it helps with the upkeep of the field and many other things to make the league go well. There are people here. You're a member of, Sam's Club. And there's some dues or fees that you pay to be a part of Sam's Club. Most people in here, you have a credit card. And in many cases, you pay an annual fee as a part of your credit card. Have you noticed the U.S. government asks you to give them a few fees and you pay some dues, if you will? The tithe is much like that, but it's instituted by God. Let me explain it, and I'm going to get to what is the tithe. If you're already confused, just stay with me and I'll get to it. But we breathe God's air, we drink God's water, we eat God's food, we walk on God's dirt, God's earth, and it's kind of like, and maybe this is oversimplifying, it's almost like a little fee or due or rent on us using God's stuff. It's all His. And so that's what the tithe is. Now understand, it says this in 2 Corinthians 8:5, and this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Now let me tell you something. You probably won't give a tithe to God or an offering to God if you're not willing to give yourself to God. The people that give financially are usually the people who have decided that they really are the Lord's and they just want to please Him. So if you've truly given yourself to the Lord, the giving of the tithe comes much easier. And boy, and that just makes, in a way, to many of you, common sense. When somebody first comes to church, they might not be what we'd call on fire for God and all excited and into the Bible and all of it. And so when you talk to them about giving their money to the Lord, not because our church dreamed it up. I mean, this has been in the Bible before any of us were on the face of this earth. But boy, at first, when you talk to them about the money, because the Lord doesn't have their heart, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way. They're learning, but the Lord doesn't have their heart. So many times then, the Lord doesn't have their wallet. But you know what happens? You get into the church and you begin to see what God says and what God's doing. And you begin to say, you know what, that makes sense. And I see that. And so they grow. Tithes and offerings, I think they help to prove our love for the Lord. It says in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And then I think we are to give to the Lord. And the Bible talks about us giving to Him cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, every man according as he hath prospered in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now that verse is so often misinterpreted. That's not telling us that if we can't give happily, we don't have to give. What it's really telling us is you're supposed to give anyway. Why not go ahead and be happy about it? It's just talking about it's an attitude. It's an attitude thing. Now, very simply, I'm going to talk about the tithe for a little while. Let me start out with this. What is a tithe? What does that mean? T-I-T-H-E. It's mentioned multiple times in the Bible. Malachi 3:10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, the tithe, the word tithe means tenth. When they're talking about a tithe, it means a tenth. Here's how it works. God gives you 100% of what you have. He then requests and requires that you give Him back 10%. Now, I'm going to tell you something so you understand it. When you tithe, you'll do it by faith. You'll tithe by faith. It doesn't have to make sense to us. We're just supposed to do it. So most people, when they begin to tithe, they don't understand it. It doesn't make total sense. Here's what they do. They say, well, the Bible tells me to.
Yes, sir.
I will. And I would say everybody here, that's how they did it. Unless you were very, very young when you began to tithe, You know, if you grew up at home and you were two and mom and dad put 10 dimes for your dollar out on the table and they scooted one dime over and said, now you give that to the Lord. And at two, you said, sure, this is great. If you were a little older, you thought, no, I want to keep my dime. Why am I going to do this? You will probably have to tithe the same way I do. God told me to. You say, do you like it? I guess. I've grown accustomed to the obedience. When it talks about being cheerful in your giving, I think after a while you begin to realize this is good. God made some promises attached to this thing called tithing, and they're good. They're good promises. And He makes good on His promises. But you do it by faith. The Bible says in John 3:27, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. So remember, 100% of what you and I receive, God gave it to us. Then what does He do? He says, now, just give me 10% back. And one thing that will help you is if you'll remember, He gave it all to you. To ask for 10% back is not unreasonable. Are we not glad He didn't ask for 50%? I think this, and I'll just throw my opinion out here. I believe a percentage tax would probably solve the tax issue in America. I think if they would set up a percentage tax and everybody just pays that percentage of their income, it would be very, very fair. It would be right. I happen to believe, you all remember we taught an entire lesson on the subject of budget. And when I did that, I talked about trying to set up a percentage type of a budget. And that's all that, and I make that suggestion on the premise of God says the first 10% of your income give to Him, which means there's 90% left. God thinks in percentages. And because there's a fairness in percentages. And so, number one, what is a tithe? It means 10%. So God is asking us to take from the 100% He gave us. He asked us to give 10% back. All right, number two. The tithe is not an offering. The tithe is not an offering. You only have given an offering after you have given a tithe. So let me make it even simpler. God, if you earn $10, God said, now give me $1 back, that's my tithe. Once you've given that $1 back, if you want to give 50 more cents, now you've given a 50 cent offering. But the very first thing we're to give is the tithe. So if we don't give, okay, if we made $10 and we say, well, I'm going to give 50 cents of it. Well, that's only half of your tithe. You say, well, no, I'm going to count that as my offering. God's going to count it as 50% of your tithe. So you can't give an offering until you have given the initial commanded tithe. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
I don't want to complicate it because I really want everybody to understand it. The offering, okay, you say, well, what's an offering? The offering is something that you're offering to give. The tithe is commanded. You say, I'm offering God my tithe. No, you're not. You're paying God the tithe. You can offer Him something above the tithe. The tithe, according to the Bible, comes first. If the tithe is not given, then there's not really any such thing as an offering. So somebody says, I'm not really tithing, I'm just throwing some money in. God's got an account, and you're kind of paying towards your tithe, getting it where it's supposed to be. But you can't give an offering until you've given a tithe. And I realize you might say, oh, you're just squabbling over words. No, I'm trying to simplify a doctrinal concept that is it's very scriptural, what I just explained to you. Maybe I can say it this way. Anybody ever heard of a nutter butter sandwich cookie? They used to have a commercial and it said, would you like another Nutter Butter peanut butter sandwich cookie? And the person said, well, how could I have another Nutter Butter peanut butter sandwich cookie if I've not had any yet? Y'all seen that commercial? If you haven't, you've not watched a good commercial. The tithe is a little bit that way. How can you give an offering if you've not even given the tithe yet? So, number one, the tithe is 10%. Number two, the tithe is not an offering. Number three, we'd ask ourselves, does a tithe apply to us today? Or is it just in the Old Testament? And there are some people that would argue that that's just mentioned. That's just Old Testament. Genesis chapter 14, verse number 20 tells us that the tithe was commanded in the Old Testament. It says, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. So we know it was taught in the Old Testament, but it is reaffirmed by Jesus himself in the New Testament. Jesus speaks of the tithe. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, it says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. So this means the tithe is still current in the New Testament. You know, they were, if you will, if it's like a rent or a due or a fee, they were paying it in the Old Testament. Nothing's really changed in the New Testament. We're still breathing air, eating food, drinking water, and walking on the same earth. Now, someone would say, well, you know, I can't afford to give my tithe. I'll, as politely as I know, tell you this. You can't afford not to. Because you're building what we'd call bad credit with God. Remember, he gives us everything. He says, give me back 10%. When we do, there's a blessing in store. When we don't, we're hurting ourselves. If there's anybody in the world you and I want to be in good financial standing with, it's the one that gives us everything.
Yes, sir.
That's the one. We want to stay in good. Now, I would tell you, there are people that understand responsibility and commitment and character and obligation, because I think everybody in this room, I mean, you want, if you have a house payment, you want to pay it on time. And if you're making a car payment, you want to pay it on time. And God knows you want your electricity bill paid on time because you want your air conditioner pumping out that cool air during those 100 degree days. We know the importance of it. We've just got to understand that giving God his tithe is more important than those other things. I'm not minimizing those other things. I just want to maximize the importance of the tithe. Let me go on. So, I said, it does apply both Old Testament and New Testament in the Bible. Number four. So, what's the purpose of the tithe? Why? Why tithe? Well, let me read you a couple of verses. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22 and 23 says, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed, says that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. Now, let me tell you something. God does not have to explain to us his purpose for the tithe. We're just supposed to obey. You say, well, I think that's unreasonable. If you're a parent, you don't think that's unreasonable. Because there are times when you tell your children something and you just want them to do what they're told. It shows their faith in dad. It shows their faith in mom. Now, God owes you and I no explanation about what he wants us to do with 10% of the 100% that he gave us in the first place. But he does give us some ideas as to why he would do this thing or ask this thing called tithe. It's said here that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. I think the tithe helps us to learn the fear of the Lord. I think there are a lot of reasons why. I think the tithe helps us to get wisdom and blessing from God. Notice it said, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that thou mayest learn. Now there's the word learn. There's something that tithing will teach you. It It says you can learn the fear of the Lord from it. But there are multiple things that somebody can learn from tithing. You can learn the fear of the Lord. You can learn faith in God. You can learn obedience to the Word of God. Now, there's some other practical things that the tithe does and reasons for tithing. But let me tell you this. Of course, the tithe, it supports the ministries of the local New Testament church, keeps the lights on, keeps the water running, keeps the function of the church going. That's a part of what the tithe does. I would tell you this, and so you might think, well, God needs that money. Well, that's not really true. You need to give it more than He needs you to give it. I've watched people that maybe make a lot of money get contrary with the church, and they think they're going to be spiteful toward a church or a pastor and say, well, I'll just withhold my tithe and the New Testament church will collapse. You think God's church is going to collapse because of you? No, I don't think so. But you could collapse if you don't do the right thing financially. Now, what are some other reasons for the tithe? And I'm not going to read verse after verse to you, but I can tell you this. According to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, 15, 16, 17, a tithe is one of the ways we can prove that we love God. According to Mark 16, 15, it helps the work of God to be accomplished. According to Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 through 4, it part of the purpose of the tithe is so God can turn around and then reward us for giving back the 10%. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 2, tithing produces joy. I really believe this. I believe that there are people that don't tithe and they do struggle with their spirit. I think there's certain depression that could come over a person because they don't tithe. You say, why? Well, I think anytime you're disobedient to God, that won't really make you happy. Let's go on. I think according to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 3, the tithe increases our faith in God. I think it helps us to follow Christ's example according to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. I think it expresses care for people and church and the things of God according to 2 Corinthians 8, 16. I think when we tithe, God said it will help you then to be an example and to teach others to tithe. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 2. I think tithing has something to do with prayer, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14. Maybe someday you ought to look all those up. We're not going to do that because I've got a little more territory I want to cover in regard to this subject. We said, what is the tithe? It's the giving of a tenth of our income back to the Lord. Remember, number 2, the tithe is not an offering. They're two separate things. Number 3, the tithe does apply to both Old and New Testament. Number 4, what is the purpose of the tithe? And of course we know, I just listed multiple things that the tithe will do for us and reasons why we should tithe. Number 5, to whom should the tithe be given? To who? Now, in Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10, we read it earlier, the Bible told us that we're to bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse. Now, from the best I can understand, the storehouse is going to be the local church. Bring it into the storehouse. Now, just so you know, the storehouse is not your house. The storehouse is God's house. Now, your tithe is to be given to the church. I think this. I don't think it's right for us to pay our Christian school bill with our tithe. I think that is a benefit that comes to our children. I think your tithe is given to the church to help with the function of the church. Now, I think this also. You can look at this any way you want. I think what a person ought to do is I think if they go to, they find the right kind of a church. And then I think they, if they're saved and baptized, I think they ought to become members of that church. They ought to join it. Then I think it makes sense then to tithe to the church that you're a member of. Now that's what I think. I'll have somebody from out yonder in the nation call and say, I want to just start tithing to your church. You know what I tell them? I said, tithe to your church. Well, I don't really believe the way my church believes. I said, then go somewhere where they believe right. What are you doing? What are you thinking? See, to simplify it, you go to your church and then your church is feeding you, so you tithe at the place where you're being fed. Well, try this. Not very far from here, there's an Outback Steakhouse. Go down to the Outback Steakhouse, order you up a couple steaks, baked potato, sour cream, get you a sweet tea, maybe some green beans or some corn drenched in butter on the side, and a big old slab of apple pie and some vanilla ice cream for dessert. After you've eaten, walk out and don't pay. When they stop you at the front door, say, I'm going to go pay at Subway. You know what they're going to say? You ate here, you pay here. You see, that's reasonable, right? Matter of fact, they'll consider you robbing them if you don't pay for your steak. So what you ought to do is go find you a church that's serving up steak, join it, and then help finance the cooking of the steak. That makes sense? All right, let me go on. So, when should the tithe be given? Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 2 says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. Now, what that's teaching, the first day of the week, we say that's Monday. Well, biblically, it's Sunday. Okay? So what it's telling us, we should tithe as soon as possible after receiving our increase, but the first day of that week is Sunday. That means the best we can, we should tithe close to the upcoming Sunday. That's all it's teaching, upon the first day of the week. You say God even wants to tell us when we're supposed to give it. Well, that's unreasonable. Well, talk to your electric company about that. Oh, you're going to tell me I'm going to pay my electric bill, or you're going to turn my power off? Yeah, they will. Then, if they do turn your power off because you didn't pay your bill, then you will pay a fee to get it turned back on. But see, it's not unreasonable what God is doing here. So I think as soon after we get paid that we can, it's a good idea to tithe, and we should do it by the first day of the week, which is Sunday. Now let me tell you something to be careful of. Just for the sake of us being reminded of human nature, the longer you put it off, number one, the greater the chance you'll forget. The longer you put it off, the greater the chance you can justify not giving it. And I have a habit. I need to pay my bills as quick as I can. Why? I don't want to forget them. And I want to go waste my money on something else and then try to justify the fact that I didn't pay my bills. You say, well, I'll just hold it for God, and he and I will draw some interest and stuff. He can draw his own interest. Okay. You just let God take care of that. God does not need you to be his banker. God needs you to put money in his bank, and he'll take care of it. Let me go on. Number 7. The tithe can actually be more than money. It can affect more than money. Listen to Luke chapter 11, verse number 42. It says, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs. Here's somebody that is tithing on something that's coming out of their garden. Okay. You say, what's that all about? Well, if you'll remember way back when we started teaching this series, I told you that in some cultures, they didn't use $1 bills and they didn't use coins. They could have traded their cattle like money, or they would have traded their vegetables like money. And so God is saying, no matter in what culture and what ways or denominations of financial exchange you use, you're still to tithe. This isn't just about having dollar bills in your pocket. So if you earned 10 apples, you're to give 1/10, which is one apple, and that's all God's saying. Listen to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and the presses shall burst out with new wine. First fruits could mean first fruits could be gifts that are given to us. Look, If somebody gives you 10 boxes of cereal, there is an increase to you. So I would recommend you give a box away. Give it to me, especially if it's Fruit Loops. I'll take it. God, it's not just money. It is our increase. If it were somebody gave us a gift, Mrs. Owens and I, not too long ago, we received some gift cards at our anniversary time. First thing she did when we got home, she figured it all up, and she figured out what is the tithe off the gift card that we just received. We've done that for years. Why? That's increase. Say, but preacher, that nobody gave you a dollar bill. I know, but if they gave me a $50 gift card, it's equivalent to $50, and so I feel an obligation to tithe on the increase. I tithe. You all give me as a part of my benefit here at the church. I don't have health insurance, but I'm a part of a Christian share program. There's a certain amount of money that the church allocates toward trying to help me with any insurance needs I might have. I tithe on my insurance benefits. Why? It's increase. If I sold my home today and I prospered, if I made money off that home, I would tithe on it. If I had an inheritance, I would tithe on it. If I had gold and silver that I had tucked away, and I don't. But if I do have some copper. I got rolls of copper. But I would tithe if I made money on it. You tithe on a little, you tithe on a lot. Someone said, well, it's not a big deal. I didn't make very much. The percentage is God's way of thinking. God didn't say if you make a lot, give me 10%. He's trying to say to a child, if you got 10 cents, if you got a dime, give God a penny. If you got $1 million, give God 1/10 of that $1 million. I think if someone has stock and they earn money with stocks or bonds or gifts or, inheritances, lawsuit, settlements and those sort of things, when there's increase, God teaches us to tithe. You say, well, this is all kind of new to me, but it's not new in the Bible. And you say, well, I've never heard it. Just so you know, I didn't dream it up. This isn't something I uniquely am teaching. If you could look around the auditorium, you'll see all sorts of people saying, yeah, we know this, been taught this. And they didn't learn it from me. It's in the Bible. It's been being taught for a long time. And unless you get confused, you say, well, I'll just stop coming to a fundamental Baptist church. Well, you're going to find all churches teach you to give. And you say, well, I'll go join the Catholics. They are the richest religion in the world. Well, maybe other than the Muslims right now. I mean, they got big bucks. And it's not from playing bingo in the basement. All right. So the tithe can be more than just money. It's our increase. It's our benefit. It's all of that. Then number 8, should we tithe if we're in debt? Should we tithe if we're in debt? Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'm going to tell you what I think the Bible teaches. I think the tithe is to come first. God says it's your first fruits. So what God is teaching is, if you'll take care of me, I'll take care of you. And I don't mean God's needy. I think God is saying, you give me what I told you to give me, and I have a way of getting involved in whatever you've got to take care of. Now, can I tell you all something? I believe this. You will not borrow your way out of debt. But it may be that you could tithe your way out of debt. And I wish I had time to teach you what I mean by that. I don't. But some people think they're going to borrow their way out of debt. That's not true. If you'll tithe, God has a way of fixing your problem. The way out of debt is not to rob God. And listen, if you fall behind on your tithe, I think it's right to catch it up. I told someone just a couple weeks ago, they said, preacher, I've been doing wrong and I've not been given like God. I knew I should have been and I wasn't. I said, well, here's what you could do. Why don't you go to God, get on your knees and say, Lord, I haven't been tithing. I'm going to start. And I can't afford God. I don't have the money to just write you a big check to make it up. I said, okay, just go to him and say you're going to give 11 or 12% for a little while. That's your tithe plus a percent or two. Until you get it fixed. I said, God's reasonable. I think God will accept that. But you're just being fair and honest with the one who gave you everything. All right, let me go on. Number nine. The Bible teaches we're to tithe on our gross income, not on our net income. And young people, so you understand gross and net. Gross means the full amount. Net means it's a reduced amount. You say, well, why would it be reduced? There's a thing called the United States government. They're reducers. So, let me read to you from Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 9. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Two words there. First fruits. That word first there in the Hebrew language means first. First. So, when it comes first to you, that's what we're to tithe on. Then when it says all, that word all there in the Greek language means all. Means all. So when what we receive first, we tithe on it, and we tithe on it all. In other words, and I think if you love the Lord, this isn't hard to understand, God gets his before Uncle Sam gets his. Should we put anything before the Lord? No. Okay, so the tithe is on our gross income, not on our net. Number 10. The tithe, then, will help you to rebuke the devourer. To rebuke the devourer. You say, what is a devourer? That can be multiple things. But what we're talking about, if we tithe, we're less apt to lose. There is kind of a, tithing is one of the best insurances you could ever take out on yourself, your belongings, and your money. I read to you earlier, and it comes from Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 through 10, and it says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 11, it says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Now notice there it said, and he shall not destroy. Something is going to destroy some part of your intake because you don't tithe. You say, who is it? I don't know. I can't tell you for sure who it is. I just know anybody that's trying to take my money, I don't like it. So that's what's happening here. God, it's almost like this, and we kind of say this jokingly, but seriously, God has a way of getting the tithe whether you give it or not. And let me tell y'all something. You come across people and they're struggling financially and they got a bunch of setbacks or something. Can I tell you something? Don't pass judgment on them. You say, well, I know what's wrong. They're not giving like they should. You have no idea what's wrong. You would have been one of Job's friends who threw him under the bus when actually he was a righteous man. Now, we do the same thing with illness. Somebody gets sick or they have physical setbacks, and we say, well, you're not right with God. That's why you're sick. Well, good gravy, that can't be true. Do you have any idea what they did to Jesus Christ? I mean, they beat him to a pulp, and he was perfect. And again, Job was a good man but suffered illness. I don't think we're to judge people that way. Don't judge people financially and don't judge people about their health. But I would tell you this, when you and I give, God has a way of helping that our possessions, our things are not devoured, if you will. So that would mean this, if we don't tithe like we should, and your belongings, your money, you're suffering extra loss, I couldn't tell you whether it's God taking care of your lack of tithing, but I can tell you this, when it all starts happening, you might want to just take a look and make sure you've been given like you're supposed to give. You'll have to decide. But God does say, if you'll tithe, I think God can make your refrigerator last a little longer, and I think God can make your shoes last just a little bit longer. And thank God there are times, I don't do it much anymore, but there were times when I wondered when the fuel light came on the car, I'm thinking, am I going to make it the next exit? I shouldn't have. But I think God said, yeah, you're a tither, I'll get you up there. I'll figure out a way. He can stretch that gallon of gas and get that extra gallon, that extra mile out of it. So the tithe will help to rebuke the devourer. A couple more points and I'm done. The tithe trains you to have good character. And I really believe this. The tithe trains you to have good character. And let me simply say this and I'll move on. To live on less than 100% of your income teaches you to control your spending and finances. I believe that when you live off of 90%, you have developed a control. And that control is going to influence even how you spend that 90%. So I think that the tithe is a character developer. I really believe that. Number 12, if you don't tithe, you have broken one of the Ten Commandments. If you don't tithe, you've broken one of the Ten Commandments. You say, well, how so? I know what the Ten Commandments are. Well, the Bible says if you don't tithe, you've robbed God. And one of the Ten Commandments is Exodus chapter 20, verse 15 says, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not steal. It's a big deal. And you say, well, you're just trying to get money for the church. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. And you can't sense that in my attitude tonight at all. I'm trying to teach you what I've learned in a very simple fashion about this thing called the tithe.